Oh, hello, creeps. You're just in time. My little Christmas party is about to begin. I just love this time of year. There's nothing quite like it. Yuletide carols, sleigh bells, Jack Frost roasting on an open fire. Where was I? Oh, yes, Christmas. How about we kick off the celebration with one of my favorite Yuletide ditties?
Hi ho, neighbors.
This is the Wolfman, yeah.
Actually, this is Scott L. and this is Ghostly Talk. This is Scott L. again.
I'm Will.
And I'm Bonnie.
Ooh. Yeah, Doug had a sex change. That's what we heard. See, Doug has yearned so much to be Bonnie over the last few years that this weekend, well, actually during this week we were talking at work and he said, Scott, I'm going to end it this week. I'm tired of being Doug of Ghostly Talk. I want to be Bonnie of Ghostly Talk. I want to be Bonnie so bad. So just last night, he went into the hospital. I mean, you know, Doug's he's a rambling man. He's got cash to throw everywhere.
Yeah, vertebrae removed to become shorter.
And yeah, the whole thing, yeah. So
I'm friendly.
Well, no, yeah, you also had the psychology thing done where it turned you into a, well, you know how it is. But the point being is that Doug really wanted to be Bonnie, so.
We need to get his voice deepened, too, so he can sound like Bonnie.
Actually, that's all BS, man. I was just lying. Bonnie's in studio tonight because Doug is technically kind of sort of taking the night off. He's doing kind of like fun slash business. And luckily, we have this wonderful technology called cell phones that we just acquired like last week, right? So we were able to use this new technology to have Doug call into the show, which I think is absolutely amazing. Doug, can you hear us okay? Are you there?
I hear you guys fine. I am on remote assignment tonight.
Yes, Doug is kind of, it's kind of like business slash pleasure slash work. You're doing it all like in 1.5 days or something like that. Where are you at, Doug, and why are you there?
I am in beautiful, frigid cold, Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Yes. What are you doing there, Doug?
Well, I came up here to see the amazing Kreskin tomorrow.
Yes, we had him on the show last week. And Doug really, really, really was serious about going and seeing Kreskin, so he managed to fiddle around with his work schedule. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that, but Doug was. So he shot out there today, and you're going to see the amazing Kreskin tomorrow. Am I correct, Doug?
Indeed I am. I have a seat. It's pre-arranged seating,
mm-hmm.
And I have a seat 5 feet from the stage. I'm shocked that the ticket was available.
Yeah.
But I only needed one,
mm-hmm.
So I guess it was easy to flip me in wherever I could get in, and I got in 5 feet from the stage, they said. So I'll be able to be right up close and see the amazing Kreskin.
And that's going to be so cool. You also grabbed a couple of T-shirts, so Doug's going to do his usual media harloting when he goes to events like this, and he's going to try to get next to Kreskin, of course. Did you brought your camera, right? Well,
I didn't. I did not bring my camera. I brought everything else, but I do have the camera on my cell phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll have somebody snap it with that.
Yeah, he's going to try to get a picture next to Kreskin, which is super cool. And we're also going to try to get a T-shirt to Kreskin, and just to thank him for being on the show last week, which was absolutely amazing. If you haven't downloaded that archive yet, that's from last week. It was an absolute ball. Kreskin's an amazing guy, and we want to thank him again for coming on the show. He's actually probably in Michigan right now as we speak. Probably
I know he's probably in the same city that I'm in.
He's probably in the hotel room next to yours. And I mean,
but because I'm not, I can't read minds or anything. I don't know exactly where, so I can't go. I could randomly knock on hotel room doors.
That might work. I would try doing that. That'd be kind of cool. I mean, you know, I'm sure you're going to bump into a couple of people that aren't Kreskin, you know. But you might
right. They might be slightly missed, but hey, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but you just may bump into Kreskin. You never know. I'm sure he's probably like very. I'm willing to bet he's within 3 miles of you right now.
I'm 1 mile from the casino where that's the venue he'll be playing, and so I'm 1 mile from there. So he's probably within a mile. Because if he's not at this hotel, he's probably at the one at the casino.
Yeah.
So
well, he's appearing
one or the other. So,
yeah, go ahead. He's appearing.
I'll just kick every even door, and I'll knock on all the even doors.
Well, he's appearing at the Soaring Eagle Casino tomorrow night. Am I correct on that?
Right.
I don't
right.
know casinos
tomorrow,
that well.
That's tomorrow afternoon, afternoon slash evening, it's 4 o'clock showing.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only one he's doing. It's only the one night. He's flying in, doing the show, and getting out of town, presumably for the holidays. I mean, I can't believe he's doing a show so close to Christmas, but hey, he's popular.
Yeah, he's very popular, very popular. It's been kind of funny all week because people, you know, we get piles of emails in every week, you know, and that we always like the feedback from people to just to let us know what they thought about the show. And I've gotten a ton of emails this week that were all the same thing. I can't believe you guys had the amazing Kreskin on the show. And we're like, well, yeah, neither can we. We're pretty blown away by it, too. It was really cool of him to come on. And Doug was dead serious. He's out there right now as we're speaking. He's on location. And he's going to be able to witness and experience the wonder and awe of the amazing Kreskin at 4 p.m. tomorrow. It's going to be
That's
very
just
cool.
Under 23 hours from now.
I know you're excited. You've been totally geeked about this all week long. I do apologize about not being able to be out there myself, but we wouldn't have been able to have a show then. So
we both would have been remoting.
Yeah, we both have. We had guests that were going to be on this week that we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes. A lot of stuff to cover this week. Oh, you know what? I'm going to try to pull this off, Doug, and don't laugh too hard at me. Let me see if I can do this administrative thing. I get to practice on this when you're not here. So,
Ghostly, this will be good. I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, here we go. Ghostly Talk can be heard. Well, okay, we're Ghostly Talk, by the way. Let's just get that out there.
You're doing well. Scott.
Start from a foundation and build from there.
Thank you.
I love your approach.
This is Ghostly Talk. We are on every Sunday night from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're broadcast from the very, 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 very haunted winery studios here in beautiful Warren, Michigan. We can be heard. Well, you can actually visit us at ghostlytalk.com, www.ghostlytalk.com. We can also be heard on Pioneer Radio, which is our flagship, station. We also can be heard on the beautiful Omnisound Radio, Radio New York International. There's all types of people rebroadcasting the show, whether it be in podcast, whether it's terrestrial radio, whether it's just on straight-up internet radio, you can download archives. People are broadcasting us all over the country, all over the world, as a matter of fact. So it's very
cool.
And
I want to, guys, I want to send out a special shout-out to Robin Valley Community Radio, a micro-power station.
Mm-hmm.
And that just excites me to no end.
Yes.
Because one of the, there's a few things that really excite me.
Mm-hmm.
And podcasting is one of them. And Micropower Community Radio is another of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I am so geeked about Robin Valley, I can't even tell you. So I'm so happy that they're carrying Ghostly Talk.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
weird having you on the other end. I'm used to like looking at you from across the table, and we're pulling our cubes back and forth like that. We kind of flow, but it's a little weird here on the phone, like doing this kind of thing. It's cool though. That's what's going on. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening for this show tonight. Well, first of all, Doug, I don't know if you want to chime in on this or not, but this week in my travels on the internet. Actually, a friend of ours, Sarah, from West Chicago Paranormal, tipped me off on this.
I know what you're going to talk about, and you know what?
What?
That's another thing that excites me to no end. I was down there last night in case, I don't know if you got an email or anything, but I just updated the profile again.
Oh, did you?
I put in more keywords, more interests, that kind of thing. I'm telling you, this stuff rocks. This stuff is what's going to bring the paranormal community together.
Oh, yeah.
And get everybody to know each other and to, well, either like or dislike each other, but it doesn't matter because as long as everybody's in on it and everybody knows mm-hmm. each other mm-hmm. and everybody's talking,
yeah,
then the paranormal community is going to go forward, finally.
Well, absolutely. And you know what, Will, while you're in front of the computer there, why don't you dial this website up for me just so you guys can take a look at this thing. This is kind of, whenever I find something cool out, I always like to tell people about it, but I decided to wait and hold off this week until I got on the show this weekend to kind of unveil this to everybody. It's not on the piece of paper, Will, no way you're looking on that thing. Just type in www.mypara.com/.
Right, not the space bar, but SPACE.
So myparaspace.com. This is a brand new website that was launched by a gentleman named Steve Compier. I think that's how you pronounce it, Steve Compier or Compier. I'm sure he'll chime on me with the email this week and let me know how to pronounce his name. In the meantime, though, this is a site that's administered by Steve Compier. And basically, if you have there's a website out there called MySpace.com. I'm sure many of you are very familiar with it. I know there's a bunch of listeners of Ghostly Talk that have their own profiles on MySpace. And kind of the way it works is you register an account on, you know, MySpace.com, for example, and you're able to have your own homepage that has, like, you know, it just basically tells people about you. And what it does is it kind of just brings people together with similar interests and similar likes, you know, whether it be music or movies or, you know, Just whatever, S&M, whatever you want to do, whatever you're into, this website does that. And then all of a sudden, like I was saying, this week I was kind of popping around the internet, and Sarah from West Chicago Paranormal sent me a link that said, hey, check out this website. It's called myparaspace.com. Now, it's the same principle. It's the exact same, well, it's not the exact same setup. It's a different website, but it's the same principle. It's the same idea. But it's tailored around the paranormal community. What it's designed to do is to bring all the ghost hunters, people that are into ghost hunting or the paranormal, who just want to learn about it, they can come to this website and register their own profile. So, of course, what I did, and Doug already kind of hinted to that, is set up the Ghostly Talk account immediately on this website. So we are on there now. This site is amazing. I'm totally blown away by it. And I know I talked to you about it a little bit this week, Doug. And it's a very, very cool website. There's tons of people on there already. I see this site actually exploding here in the next couple of months. Coming into the new year, this site is going to grow exponentially, I think, because if you're familiar with how things work, the MySpace thing, this whole thing with MySpace, and there's other sites like Friendster out there that have the same type of thing. MySpace is absolutely a Doug, I can't even begin to explain how big this website is now.
Well, you know what it is? It's a fairly new theory. It's some kind of big theory.
Yeah.
And it seems to be working. It seems to be taking hold. It's called social networking.
Yeah.
And it used to be, in the olden days, pre-MySpace and Friendster and all those, and MyParaSpace, you had to join a club or be in a church or hang out with, you know, your school friends or, you know, write to famous people and hope they write you back. That's how you interacted with folks.
Mm-hmm.
And with the internet, though, they have come up with new and faster and better ways of networking back and forth with people.
Yeah.
And what they did is they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have people sign up, and then they can make an account. They make a bunch of friends on the service, mm-hmm. and then their friends have friends, and then their friends have friends, and so on and so on.
And it snowballs from there.
So it's a social networking paradigm, and it's one extremely interesting theory, and it's also an extremely interesting implementation of that theory because you can browse all these people's profiles just at the click of a mouse.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed it last night when I got on for about half an hour. And I was on their Ghostly Talk, and I was browsing all the people who signed up as friends of Ghostly Talk, and I thought that was one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. And I know that Ghostly Talk had a MySpace account, or probably still does.
We still do, yeah.
I don't think they go away. Mm-hmm. But I had only been on there a couple times, and I didn't really understand it. And when you clicked through, there were people who, you know, were into different stuff. This is much more focused because it's paranormal. It, uh-huh. You know, these are it's going to attract people who are interested in paranormal. And I'm pretty happy that Compeer went and did this website.
Yes,
don't know. I know for a fact that we're not associated with them, other than we have an account on them. So we're not.
Well, it's actually pretty funny,
like,
Doug.
We're excited about it.
Well, we're really
not associated.
Technically speaking, we are associated a bit now. I mean, I'm not going to try to like line us up with.
We've exchanged banners. We've exchanged banners with a lot of places.
Yeah,
that we're not associated with them.
Oh yeah, you're right.
We're
you're
just
totally
friends
right.
of them.
We're really Social excited networking. About this site, though. We're really excited about this site because I think, like I said before, I see this site exploding, and it's just another nail. I guess this is a pretty funny way to say it, but it's just another nail in the coffin, you know, that backs up the statement saying, you know, that the paranormal, that ghost hunting and stuff like that is really starting to become a very popular thing, it seems, nowadays. And there's sites like this out there to really bring people together. And like you said, Doug, it's much more focused than MySpace. It's, based around the paranormal community. And that's why I really wanted to kind of like specifically say something about the site today, because I want to see all of our listeners bop on over there after you listen to this archive or listen to this live broadcast or whatever however you're listening tonight, and register an account and get on there and start posting, because they have message boards, chat boards, forums, and all that same type stuff that we have on our website. And the idea is the same thing as Ghostly Talk, in my opinion. Ghostly Talk, and Doug, please chime in on this too if you want, was, you know, it was put together to bring the paranormal community together to exchange ideas. And My Paraspace is the same exact foundation, in my opinion. It's a great website. Definitely check it out. I think everybody should go over there and register their own account and put up their pictures and tell people who you are and network. That's what it's all about, in my opinion. Definitely
check
it out.
Another thing that I like is that everybody's equal.
Yeah.
You start out with no friends. Well, maybe one friend if Dave is your first friend.
Mm.
But you start out with the same way everybody else starts out, and you build your network of friends and you're, you know, throwing messages back and forth and enjoying each other in the forums and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so everybody is equal in My Paraspace and also MySpace and Friendster. But you start out equal, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So it could be, I mean, because we're nothing special. I'm nothing special. But you know, we're on the radio sometimes. So it's kind of, you know, neat. But I started out, piggybacked on your account, or on the Ghostly Talk account. I just logged in as Ghostly Talk.
Uh-huh.
So I logged in as the show's account. But the, it's all equal. You're all equally as interesting, equally as important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what counts, and that's what I love. I love when everybody's the same, and you walk in, everyone's the same. You shouldn't be afraid to dash off a message to any of those people on Paraspace and say, hey, I read your profile, you're neat.
Exactly. It's a very cool website. I'd like to see everybody check it out. I think it's very important. Hey, Doug, guess what, dude? Bonnie,
is it time for me to go?
No, it's not time for you to go. I want you to stay here.
Oh.
Because what happened was I got in here my feet were smoking as I ran in here. And Bonnie brought something for me. I don't know what this is, but I figured, hey, you know.
It's a little gold bag, Doug.
It's a little gold bag.
I'm familiar with this little gold bag.
This is a Christmas. is this a Christmas present?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm gonna
open this thing up right now. And it feels, why is it all gooey on the inside? What is this? Okay, let me see. All right, if this is, oh my God. Oh wow, it's a ghostly talk thong.
Yes, I have one too.
So oh,
this is a real thong.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
The thing's pretty big too. This is a nice thong though. You guys, I'm gonna have to like put this up. Nobody has their camera, do they? Why did my... What?
Okay,
I don't want to see that.
Okay, stop.
All right.
Your sister, because you didn't show up for the Christmas party, stood in for you.
Okay.
Due to inclement weather, you weren't...
Yeah, okay. I wasn't able to get to the party, yeah.
Your sister stood in for you. She opened it up.
Yeah.
There was an agreement a long time ago regarding thongs and pictures.
Yeah.
So I allowed it to happen over the clothes.
Okay.
Because that was safer that way.
All right.
So Doug and Will... And your sister
yeah.
put the thongs on over their clothes.
And I haven't seen this picture yet.
I have pictures of them from the front and from the back.
Well, we need to get those and get them up on the site ASAP.
I'll put them up on the site tonight.
That's definite quality viewing for people, I think. This is great. It's a Fruit of the Loom thong, too, by the way. I mean, this is quality stuff right here. I mean, this is built to last right here. I mean, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, if you're a dancer or something like that, I definitely recommend Fruit of the Loom thongs because... They're good. They're good. It's good quality stuff right here. But it's a little blue, not little, but it's a thong. I think it was designed to fit on me. I don't know where I'm ever going to wear this thing, but it says Ghostly Talk on it. It has the Ghostly Talk logo. This is pretty cool. Thank you, Bonnie.
You're welcome.
I don't know where she got XXXXL thong.
Is that what it says
on
here?
But I'm really, really happy she did.
Let me see here. Does it have a size? It says size 9.
Yeah, they're actually women's because I really didn't think you guys would wear them. It was just for...
I really don't think I'm going to wear it either.
Right. Now open your
maybe
real
on my
present.
Maybe on my head or something. I don't
open
know.
Open your real present.
Open my, okay, so we got the thong. Well, you know, practicality... Bad, but for a good laugh, this is great. I love
Scott
it.
Scott L.
Yeah.
Scott L., you're supposed to wear that over your clothes for the rest of the show.
Okay, well, hey, all right. Well, that's the way it's going to be. Let me just hop up here and slide it on. Hang on. I'm sliding it on right now.
Because we had to wear ours almost the entire way through the Christmas party.
All right. Oh, my God. This thing will fit. This is right up my butt, dude.
It is in good taste, by the way, because we...
Well, no, I have it over my sweatpants, my pull-away pants, so... All right, well, I got it on now, and, you know, I have to say, it's nice. It's comfortable. It's comfortable. What do we got here now? Okay.
These are your Christmas gifts.
Why'd you buy me so much stuff? What'd I tell you about this?
And what do I tell you every year? Why do you argue with me?
All right.
I'm not going to buy it. Just open it.
Let me dive into this one here. Okay. Here we go. I'm gonna unwrap this in the mic. Here we go. Ready? Can you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice and loud. Doug's like, okay, man, come on. All right. Oh.
Hurry up, I'm excited. I want to know what it is.
Oh, dude, this is awesome. Okay, now this is sweet. I got a giant. This thing's huge.
I know it is.
I got a set of bras that would match the thong. it's a giant Star Wars Darth Vader Pez dispenser. You know
wow.
Little Pez dispensers, those little ones you can hold in your hand and pop the candy out? Well, this one is like five times
you pop
the size.
A cake out of-
yeah, it pops a whole it pops a Twinkie out or something. I don't know.
Wow.
This thing is huge, man. Well, this is, but yeah, it's a Star Wars giant Pez candy roll dispenser in the form of Darth Vader. So yeah, thank you, Bonnie. This is amazing. Thank you so much. This is gonna look great on my desk at work. Wouldn't you imagine? Wouldn't that be great? Now this is something else too. Boy, this is like just
I
like.
I spend the same amount of money on everything.
This is like spoil Scott Eldon in here. I gotta say this wrapping paper is exquisite. This is like, you see, you're like one of those overachievers during Christmas that actually wraps presents. The rest of us just get Christmas bags.
Right.
You actually wrap your presents, so I have to commend you on that. I'm just tearing into this one now, too. All right. Oh, a white box! I've been wanting a white box for so long!
Can you shut up and open it?
I want a white
I'm
box!
Down there.
Man, this is awesome. Okay, it's a white box!
Scott, open it up, for God's sakes.
Okay. I thought it was just a white box I could put the thong in.
No.
All right, what do we got here?
There's white styrofoam.
I've always wanted styrofoam. Thank you, Bonnie.
A white box of styrofoam? That's more than I got. I got an empty gift card container.
Oh, oops. Almost let that one slide there.
Yeah, but I found your card. You got a card.
I know.
Okay, all right. I've got it open.
Hold on. There's much stuff in there, so take it easy.
All right. It's Bonnie, I don't know what it is. What is it?
Take it all out first.
It's a candle.
It's an oil burner, Scott.
Oh, totally cool. I collect these things. You know that. I collect oil burners.
Imagine why I would have bought it for
this
you.
This is totally... look at... And on the inside has a bust of Cleopatra. Actually, that's King Tut. On the inside of this oil burner, it's like an engraving of King Tut. And yeah, you set the little thing on top of there. People know that it's like an offering dish. You see, this is beautiful. And what kind of oil do we have in this thing now too?
Egyptian musk.
Egyptian musk. It smells good too. I like it. They can smell it.
Good stuff.
Excellent. Well, Bonnie, thank you so much. I know I couldn't make it to the party last weekend, so I appreciate you coming out here and dropping these things off. This is totally cool.
This thong is still
very comfortable, I have to say. I'm really enjoying this. Do I have to wear this the whole show?
Yes.
Oh,
the rest of the show. But you have to keep it.
I have to keep it?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I'll keep it. I'm not going to get rid of it. It says ghostly talk on it. Everything that says ghostly talk on it, I keep. Even thongs. Awesome, Bonnie. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is so, super cool. I have tons of these oil burners. It's so cool. So thank you for letting. I have another Egyptian one in my bedroom, as a matter of fact. So I'll put them next to each other. Thank you so much. Coming up here in the next half hour, we have the illustrious John B. Kachuba coming on, who is the author of Ghost Hunting Illinois, and he's also the author of Ghost Hunting Ohio. And we're going to talk to him about his books, actually, till 7:30. So, hey, you know what? I tell you what, Doug, I want you to enjoy yourself out there. I know you're not there very long, but I know you have to drop off because you have a couple of drug deals to take care of or something like that, did you say?
Well, no, the Spy Network dropped off a couple of packages that I've got to distribute. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, awesome.
I do want to say to everybody, because there won't be a Ghostly Talk next week because it's Christmas Day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But there will be a Ghostly Talk on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Keep watching the website because if the guest who's going to be on is, you know, confirms and it happens,
yeah,
that's going to be one of my dreams come true.
It's going to be one heck of a show to start the new year off, too. It's going to be one...
Exactly. And this is going to be one of my dreams come true, and one of the things that I look forward to doing Ghostly Talk for and about. And
oh, yeah.
So the New Year's Day Ghostly Talk, if it all solidifies, should prove to be an amazing show, and I know I'll be absolutely flabbergasted to be part of it. I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yes.
To listeners, to Phobos, to you guys there in the studio, Bonnie, Will, and Scott L, to Mom L, and everybody who makes all of this, whatever it is, possible. the guests, I mean, everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. So I am going to drop off, and I'll talk to everybody in the new year.
Enjoy your
and
night off,
one thing. Ask the Ohio guy, the guy with the book about the Ohio thing.
John?
Ask him about the fudge best white human-like beast.
Oh, definitely. We're going to have to talk
about
that.
And ask him if that was just a Will sighting on accident.
All right, Doug. Well, enjoy your night off, man. Enjoy your night
Thank
off.
Thank you, everybody.
And relax and
Thanks,
hey,
God.
We're gonna have a report next time we come back on the air about the show too about UC and Kreskin also. So stay tuned for that also.
Most definitely. Thanks, everybody. Happy New Year.
Bye, Doug.
Bye, Duggar.
See you, man.
Bye.
Bye. Kind of weird talking to him on the phone. Thanks again for the presents, Bonnie. I really appreciate it. This thong still feels really nice. The way it cups my underside, it's very, very... It's a nice, soft material, and I have to say, I'm going to pimp Fruit of the Loom. They make a great product. I have Fruit of the Loom t-shirts, and I didn't know they actually made thongs, too, but these are... This is a nice thong. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I want to take a quick break, Will. We're going to come back on the air here in about a few minutes, I think, and we're going to talk to, like I said, John B. Kachuba. About his two books, Ghost Hunting Illinois and Ghost Hunting Ohio, so stay tuned there. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Sid Haig from www.sidhaig.com, and you are listening to the Ghostly Pod. And that's the only reason I don't have my boot up your ass.
Mama, mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The vato with a bony knees, he's coming down the street with no shoes on his feet, and he's going to... No, that ain't it. Mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The guy with the hair on his jaws, he... Hey, man, come over here, man. I need some help, man.
Yeah, man, I can dig that. Like, what are you doing, man?
I'm trying to write a song about Santa Claus, man, but it's not coming
about
out.
About who, man?
About Santa Claus, man. You know, Santa Claus,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, man. I played with those dudes, man.
What?
Yeah, last year at the Fillmore, man. Me and the bass player sat in, man.
Oh, hey, man, you think Santa Claus is a groove, huh? No, it's not a groove, man.
Would they break up, man?
Oh, no, man, it's one guy, man. You know, he had a red suit on, man, with black patent leather shoes. You know the guy, man?
Oh, yeah. He's with Motown, ain't he?
No, man.
Yeah, I played with that dude, too.
No,
yeah, he's a good singer, man.
No, hold on, man. He's not with Motown, man.
Well, then he's with Buddha, man.
Oh, man, you don't know who Santa Claus is, man.
Yeah, well, I'm not from here, man. Like, I'm from Pittsburgh, man. I don't know too many local dudes.
Oh, I see. Well, hey, man, sit back and relax, and I'll tell you the story about Santa Claus, man. Listen, once upon a time, about 5 years ago, there was this groovy dude, and his name was Santa Claus, you know? And he used to live over in the projects with his old lady. And they had a pretty good thing together because this old lady was really fine. And she could cook and all that stuff like that. You know, like she made the best brownies in town, man. Oh, I could remember them now, man. I could eat one of them, man. Wow,
did you know these people, man?
Oh, yeah, man. They used to live next door to me, you know, until they got kicked out, man.
What, they got kicked out of the projects, man?
Yeah, you know what happened, man? They used to live with all these midgets, you know. And the midgets used to make a lot of noise, you know, like pounding and hammering and pounding all night, man.
Ugh. Typical freaks. Wow,
yeah, man, they were really freaks, man. As a matter of fact, they all moved up north together, you know.
Oh, they have to go get their head together, man.
Yeah, get their head together, man. And they started a commune, you know. It was called the Santa Claus and His Old Lady commune. It was a real famous one up there, man. And they used to sit around and groove all the time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Really good time, man.
Hey, that sounds
eat
heavy.
Eat the brownies, man. They drink the tea, man. And what they did most of the time, though, was make a lot of goodies, you know. And they had everything they needed. They only needed to come into town maybe once a year or something like that.
Pick up the welfare check and the food stamp.
Yeah. No, what they did, man, is once a year, when they made all the goodies, you know, they used to put them in a big chopping bag, and then they used to take the chopping bag and deliver them to all the boys and girls all the way around the world.
Hey, well, that's it, man.
Yeah,
that sounds real nice.
Oh, yeah, they were really nice people, man. And so much class, man. They had so much class, you know, like even take the way they used to deliver the toys, you know. It's like Santa Claus used to have this really sharp short, man, you know. It was lowered to the ground at twice pipes, candy apple red, and button top. Ooh, clean.
Yeah, that sounds like a hip snowmobile, man.
No, it wasn't a snowmobile. It was a sled, you know. One of those big sleds, you know. And used to have it pulled by some reindeers, you know, like reindeers.
Some what, man?
Some reindeers, you know. Used to hook them onto the sled, and then used to stand up inside the sled and hold onto the reins, and then call out their names, like, on Donner, on Blissen, on Chewy, on Tabo, come on, Beto. And then the reindeers used to take off into the sky and fly across the sky, man.
Man, that's far out, man.
Yeah, and then when they fly across the sky, they used to come down to places like, oh, Chicago, L.A., Nueva York, Pacoima, and all those places, you know, and then land on top of people's roofs, and then old Santa Claus would make himself real small, you know, like a real small guy, and he'd come down the chimney, and then he would give you all the stuff that he made, man, and do this, man, he did it all in one night, man.
Hey, just a minute, man, now how'd he do that, man?
Oh, well, man, he took the freeway. How else, man?
No, man. How did he do all that other stuff, man? Like, how'd he make himself small, man? And how'd he get the reindeer off the ground, man?
Oh, well, man, he had some magic dust, man.
Some magic dust?
Yeah, magic dust. You know, he used to give a little bit to the reindeer, a little bit to Santa Claus, a little bit more to Santa Claus, a little bit more.
And this would get the reindeer off, man?
Oh, got them off, man. Are you kidding, man? They flew all the way around the world, man.
Hey, that's far out, man. Hey, how come I've never met this dude, man?
Oh, man, he doesn't do that bit anymore, man. It got too dangerous, man.
Yeah, I can dig that, man, because that's a dangerous bit.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sure was, man. Like, just 2 years ago, man, he got stopped at the border, you know, and they took him into another room and took off his clothes, man, and searched him and searched his bag of goodies, man. And then when he was leaving, man, he was flying through the air, somebody took a shot at his reindeer, you know?
Oh, that's a drag.
Yeah, man. It really was, man. And then, man, he went down south, man, and they tried to cut off his hair and his beard, man. And all the time he was getting stopped and pulled over and asked for his ID, man. Just everywhere he went, he ran into too much recession, man.
No, man, you mean he ran into too much repression, man.
Repression, recession, man. It's all the same thing, man.
Yeah, man. It's a drag, man, because we could sure use a dude like that right now.
Oh, he still comes around, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he comes in disguises now.
Oh, he went underground.
Yeah, underground, man.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah, but you want to see his disguise, man. Nobody would ever know it was him, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's got a job in front of the department store, ringing this bell and playing this tambourine next to this black pot, you know?
Oh, I seen the dude.
Yeah,
man.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. I played with that cat last year, man.
What?
Yeah, we played in front of a store, man. We made a lot of
money. Oh,
bread,
hey,
man.
Wait a minute, man. Santa Claus is not a musician, man.
I'm hip, man. That cat didn't know any tunes, man.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, man. No, he's not into that at all, man.
No, I played with this dude.
Hello, everybody. My name is Adge. I'm a druid from Ireland, and I'm very busy with the Save Tara campaign. We're trying to divert the road that's going to be built, the toll road, away from Tara Hill. So if any of you can help out with this, please go to our website at www.taraskreen.org and please help us to save the heart of Ireland from having a scar gouged right across it. I believe there are 40 million Americans that claim Irish descent. This concerns each and every one of you. Please help save Tara, and thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.
I just want to dance. I don't really feel like talking right now. I just want to dance.
This is the last you'll hear of it until next year, so.
Yeah, we're not. This
January 1st is all new stuff.
Yeah, coming, this one quick thing, yeah, come January 1st, there's a lot of changes being made right now. And our drop-dead date right now for the new website, like we've been saying, is going to be the top of the year. Let's just say the first week of January. That gives us a little bit of slack time, hopefully. The new site's
coming off January 2nd. I'll probably be doing it all day long.
Yeah, we're both going to be just working like dogs.
Plus, Project 3 is going to be... Is
yeah, Paranormal Minds.
Site.
Yeah.
Drop dead date for that site, too.
Yeah, so everything's going to be... There's going to be a lot of changes being made, a lot of new things coming up for 2006, so stay tuned on that. Wow, we got all kinds of stuff going on here tonight. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm
Bonnie.
I'm so used to being third.
Yeah, I know. No, you're second. This is kind of weird not having Doug here tonight. We're gonna do our thing with you know, Doug's gonna enjoy himself and have his night off. We all need a break here and there, and Doug needs his too. So
playing video poker
he's in the casino. You know, he's just hanging out there. I knew for a fact he had like a lot of cash, like, you know, like a fistful of cash.
When he stopped by earlier,
yeah,
he was like, so I'm like, yo, you're going to the casino tonight? He was like, oh, no, I don't think so. And I'm like,
yeah
right.
Whatever. What? He is in the casino for sure. Let's move on, though. John B. Kachuba is the author of Ghost Hunting Illinois and Ghost Hunting Ohio, the first two books in the Haunted Heartland series from MS Books. John is a noted conference speaker and presenter and has appeared at Wild Acres Writing Bookshop, well, I'm sorry, Workshop, Florida Suncoast Writers Conference, Columbus Writers Conference, Irma Bombeck Humor Writing Workshop, Blooming Grove Writers Conference, West Virginia Ghost Hunters and Spirituality Conference, and Haunted America Conferences. He has also spoken on many radio and television programs throughout the country and internationally. Is this your first internet broadcast, John? I'm just curious.
You know, actually, it's not.
Okay.
This is a very popular phenomena that's going on right now.
The internet broadcasting?
Yeah, I think it's the beginning of something big.
Well, it's good to hear that, because we've been doing this for a really long. We're going on our fourth year now, John. Mm-hmm. Doing this. We started doing this a really long time ago when the first year of it was really kind of hard for people to get used to, because it is a new way of doing things. But nowadays, yeah, you're right. It's starting to really pick up now, and we're really happy to be part of that. I want to make one comment about your book, Ghost Hunting Illinois, before we move on. When I got this book, John, I was thumbing through it, reading a couple stories here and there. In the very beginning of the book, though, there is this little page that says about the author on it. And it has you and your wife standing in front of a car. It says Ghost Hunter on it, right? Now, I looked closely at this car, and my heart skipped a beat, because if I'm correct, is this an 85 Buick Skyhawk?
Oh, my gosh, it's an 87 Buick Skyhawk.
Okay, 87. My first car I ever had was an 85 Buick Skyhawk. And it looked very similar to this with the writing and stuff all over them, because my car was just ripped apart also. It was my first car, so it was pretty much, graffitied and tagged up beyond all belief. But I saw this, and I'm like, that's my old car right there. That was a silver one, too, am I correct?
It's actually a blue. It's like a metallic blue color.
All right.
Although it's hard to tell with the rust.
Yeah. The Buick Skyhawks, they were rust. I think they came with rust. They actually came. It was an option. You could have rust put on there if you wanted to. I remember my Skyhawk I had, I actually tried to do this thing they call restoring it, right? And I actually... the thing that's cool about these cars is that you could, like, they're all J-body type cars that GM made in the early to, like, late 80s. And you could take, like, for example, I replaced the driver's side door on mine, right? And the door that came that I replaced it with was from an 84 Cavalier. These parts could switch all over the place. It was hilarious. I just saw that picture and I thought it was cool. I wanted to, like, just throw that out to you. Now, you are the author of Ghost Hunting Illinois, though. That's the book I'm holding in my hand right now. And I'm just curious, what was it? I like to ask everybody this who writes a book of this manner with all these types of stories. What inspired you to go out there? And there's like 30 stories in here, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, there's about 30 different places that I visited in Illinois, and got firsthand stories from people that were on site, that were experiencing these things.
Okay.
From my own experiences.
Okay. So this is more of an account type book. This isn't just like the stories that are maybe the legends that are around the areas. You actually went there yourself and talked to people that were on site and asked they experienced. Right?
That's right. And I think that's one thing that differentiates my books a little bit from a lot of the other ghost books that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you're right, exactly. I'm not just retelling ghost stories or folk tales or whatever, but every place in Ghost Hunting Illinois or Ghost Hunting Ohio, I visited personally and spoke to the people that were having experiences, and like I said, also recorded any of my own experiences. So it's actual, present day information, what's really happening at these places.
Well, the thing that pops in my mind when I hear the word, the state of Illinois, is a lot of the, obviously in the early part of the century, was a lot of the mafia affiliations, a lot of the mob ties, which we know there was a lot of death that resulted from there. So when I saw this book, I studied the mafia and the Cosa Nostra and stuff like that a lot, along with studying, paranormal research and whatnot. So, getting something like this, a book called Ghost Hunting Illinois, I'm very excited to read something like this, because it kind of combines both those. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about maybe a couple areas that were more mob affiliated. You did visit a couple areas in Illinois that were in that manner.
Yeah, I did. Sure.
Could you throw a couple of those out? I'm just curious. I want to learn about these too.
Well, one of them was Grace. I'm trying to think what cemetery it was now. I guess it was Graceland Cemetery. I might be wrong on that, and somebody's probably going to correct me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was Mount Carmel. Let me go back to that.
Yeah, Mount Carmel. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Mount Carmel Cemetery has something called the Italian Bride, and I can talk about that a little bit. But it also has the grave of Al Capone is buried there.
Mm-hmm.
As is Frank Nitti, his enforcer, who is across the street from him and about 50 yards down, still enforcing, I guess. They're protecting his boss, you know?
Yeah, we have a friend out in Chicago who's one of our field reporters for the show, and mm-hmm. he actually went out to Mount Carmel and took a picture of Al Capone's tombstone for us. Mm-hmm. It's not something you can actually just see, like, if you're walking through there or driving through there. If I understand correctly, there's actually, like, bushes up in front of that, so...
That's right.
I understand it's been vandalized a couple times, so they're trying to keep that from happening. So they actually put up these bushes so people don't do stuff. So you kind of have to look for it a little bit.
You do. I mean, it's actually, when you come into the drive off Roosevelt Road, I guess, which is a main drag through that area,
mm-hmm.
when you come in, you take a right on your very first street in the cemetery, and it's right there. It's a vertical stone, and it is covered by bushes. The Capone name is covered by bushes,
mm-hmm.
so all you see is the top of it and kind of a cross or something above it.
Yes.
The headstones themselves are flat. In the ground. They're horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't even see them from the road. You have to get out of your car and look, and there you'll see it.
Yeah.
And Al's stone usually has a couple of coins left on it, or more often than not, you know, half-smoked cigars. He was a big Stogie fan.
Oh, yeah.
So people always like to leave him cigars.
Yeah, one of his famous photos, actually, is the photo after he was, what's the word I'm looking for? After he was actually, he came out of court before he was getting ready to go to Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I believe he was sentenced to 11 years in Alcatraz for tax evasion. And
right.
he was, for the story goes, he was very, very laid back about the whole thing because he thought he was going to beat it. He thought he was going to completely beat it. And he was only going to maybe spend a year or two there at the most. So one of the most famous photos of Al Capone is actually a photo of him, you know, because he was kind of a short guy, kind of a chunky guy. And he had these big cute cheeks, right? Big poppy cheeks. And he had one of those big cigars in his mouth with a big smile on his face. And that's one of the most famous photos I've seen of Al Capone.
Right.
Unfortunately, he spent a lot more time than just a year or two there, and that was ultimately his demise for people out there. Al Capone actually, his mind came apart in prison, and when he came out, he spent the rest of his life more or less fishing in his swimming pool down in Florida. That's a sad story about Al Capone.
Yeah. The interesting story, too, though, about his going crazy in jail
mm-hmm.
was that people say that he was constantly, I can't think of the person's name now,
mm-hmm.
but one of his mob victims,
mm-hmm.
he claimed later on was haunting him in life.
Really?
And that in prison he kept saying that he was being visited by the ghost of this guy. And he went crazy. Now, he also had venereal disease.
Yeah, he had syphilis.
I think it was syphilis.
He had syphilitic insanity, that's what they call it.
Right, and yeah. that will affect your brain as well. So, you know, who knows? But an interesting little side point is that people who knew him at the time, like guards, you know, at the prison and whatever, and other cellmates, I guess, or the prisoners, related that story that he was constantly calling out this guy's name and swearing that he was being haunted by the ghost of one of his victims.
That's a new story. I have not heard that one before,
yeah.
John. That's
kind of interesting little twist.
Well, the story goes, like you said, the main point is that he did suffer from syphilis, which will cause syphilitic insanity. That actually is a diagnosed medical term right there, too, syphilitic insanity. And,
right.
And they said that his mind, he became stir-crazy also, from what I understand. Just sitting in prison, it just didn't sit with him very well. And that was the reasons I heard that his mind came apart and he came out just more or less crazy. I did not know about this story of him being visited by one of his former victims, though.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. It's a different
take. I do think it was, I agree, I think it's probably the syphilis and everything else, but there is this other little story out there that, you know, maybe he was tormented by a ghost.
That's
so,
interesting, very interesting. Is there any other places you visited? I'm just curious. I'm sorry,
yeah.
I hate to try to keep this all one-sided, you know, but I mean,
no, it's fine.
I'm really interested in La Cosa Nostra and things like that. I'm wondering if there's any other areas you visited in Chicago that were kind of like mob-related.
Well, yeah, one place actually was called Widow McCleary's Pub, and that's in Thornton, Chicago, Thornton, Illinois, which is kind of a southern suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
And this, too, is an Al Capone story.
Okay.
In that it began life as a brewery around, I don't know, 1890, 1892, something like that. And it eventually passed into the ownership of a guy named McCleary, an Irishman. And he was an honest guy running a brewery, and his brewery was located over an artesian well, a natural well, so he had, you know, great water for brewing and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also, in those days, he was pretty far out of the city, so he was away from prying eyes of the Chicago police or anybody else.
Yeah.
And Capone, in his bootlegging operations, you know, was looking for places in the area to hide liquor or to transport it or whatever. And he thought this brewery would be a great location. Mm-hmm. So he approached McCleary and said, you know, why don't we go in partners on this and make you a rich man, all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem was McCleary was an honest man and turned him down, which was probably a mistake. I don't think you're supposed to turn Al Capone down.
No.
And it was a mistake. No sooner had he done that when there was a fire at the brewery, and McCleary and something like 10 other people died in the fire, leaving his widow and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So gave Capone an opportunity at this point just to kind of move in and tell the widow that we're business partners now.
Yeah.
And that's how it went, and he became business partners. And this place is haunted, and they don't know exactly who the haunting entities are. In the 1950s, there was a renovation done in the building. And during the renovation, they uncovered some human bones in the walls, sort of the basement area. And people think that that may have been some of the victims of the fire, but other people think that it may be victims of Al Capone, that over the years, as he was eliminating some of his competition and looking for places to dump the bodies, that he used this place as one of those areas, and that they may be just, you know, part of his, some of his victims. Nobody really knows. The really strange thing is the owner at that time doing the renovation just sealed the bones back up again and just covered it over and didn't report it to the police or anything like that. So technically, I guess, those bones are still there.
Oh, wow.
And so are, you know, sort of spirits maybe that are not at peace, I guess. So they might be the entities. But actually, the people in the bar think that it might just be the widow McCleary herself and actually her little daughter.
Yeah.
And the haunting there is very unusual. Mm-hmm. There's a bar, and above the bar they have a billiard table upstairs and some other, you know, chairs, another bar up there. And you can go up there, and I did this with one of the bartenders who went up there, and she said that the little girl ghost, the McCleary daughter, they think, they're pretty sure it's her, likes to play with the billiard balls. And what they do is she put one down on the floor. Now, the floor is old, and it's warped, you know, and the kind of slanted. So if you put it in one part, the ball just roll across the floor as you would expect it to roll. But she put it in a totally flat area, and she said, you know, we'll see if the girl wants to play. And this ball, from a dead stop, just started rolling. It started rolling towards me, and then it stopped. And then it went, like, to its right and started rolling that way, and then it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moved another direction. It kept doing this start and stopping and changing directions.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, warp or no warp, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how something stops and starts and continues to do that. And they say it'll do this, like, all the time. And they say it's a little girl playing. And I was kind of amazed to see that.
Well, generally, you know, it's obvious. I'm sure both of us know this. You know, old floors, like you were talking about, they're warped out. They have ups and downs and holes and stuff in them. And yeah, if you set up, especially something like very hard and round, like a pool ball like that, yeah, it'll just roll. It'll generally just roll in one direction, and it'll kind of just take where gravity will take it back and forth. But I've never seen something like that as far as a ball goes, where it would literally change directions and go a different way. That's very strange to see something like that. You know, I think the latter of the two might have been the idea. You were talking about bones in the walls of this bar.
Mm-hmm.
I think Capone was probably responsible. Well, he sounds like he was responsible for all of that, much like a lot of the stuff, you know, back in that day in that area. I don't know if it... It seems unlikely that if there was a fire in the bar, they would leave bones there. You follow me? I think Capone probably just dumped the bodies there. That's what I think probably happened.
And there's a great area for it because, as I said before, there is this artesian well that's there on the property. And to get to it, you have to sort of go into a basement area, open a door, and then kind of go down even further. So like a sub-basement through this kind of subterranean passage, a little brick passage. And, I mean, you can feel it. You can feel the air get very cool. There's moisture on the wall. So you know you're going down, you know, into the earth. And you follow this tunnel back, and there's like this little, just like a little concrete room, and there's a pipe, and there's this spring that's just bubbling up from the ground.
Oh, wow.
And it's a very cool place to hide things, I'm sure.
Is there any other areas that you saw that were kind of like involved with this mob thing? I'm just curious.
Well, there's not so much mob, because he really wasn't a mobster, but, you know, John Dillinger, public enemy number one,
absolutely,
was... killed at the Biograph Theater on North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the book as well, because the theater is supposedly haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not the theater itself so much. I went inside, and I was talking to the manager of the theater, and I talked to some of the ushers and people working the counters and that kind of stuff. And the theater inside has been renovated to the extent that it wouldn't look anything like Dillinger's day when he was there. In fact, even the chairs, all the old chairs, of course, are gone, including the chair that he sat in during the performance and all. But he was actually he was gunned down by the FBI and Chicago police outside the theater, in the sidewalk in the front as he came out.
That's what I was going to say. I heard that he was actually gunned down. This is only what I've heard, John. But from what I've read, John Dillinger was actually, Dillinger was actually shot down in an alleyway by that theater, if I understand correctly, which makes sense. I mean, I agree with, he was shot down by the FBI. Maybe, I think what I understood is they saw him, they tried to apprehend him, he took off running, they chased him down an alleyway, and they blew him away. That's what I was told.
He actually died. You know, he actually died in the alley, which is actually along the side of the theater, not behind it. And you know, who knows? I mean, they shot him pretty much right out in the sidewalk, but he certainly got himself into the alley before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And people say that they have seen this shadowy figure on the sidewalk come out of the theater and sort of go down the sidewalk towards that alley, and then just kind of like stumble and fall and disappear.
Wow.
So that's been a reported incident. People say, well, that's Dillinger. You know?
Well, in regards to Dillinger, he was, as far as history goes, if I'm correct, he was one of the most successful bank robber in history. The money he made robbing banks like in a 3-month period pretty much dwarfed, as far as that time went, it dwarfed everybody else as far as crime goes. I mean, I don't know if it's a great thing, you know, hey, good for you, buddy, good job, you know. But he was, at that time, the most successful bank robber in that area, and in history, possibly. Now, in regard with these stories, too, when we hear stories like this, John, mm-hmm. we're ghost hunters, and so are you, so we always try to figure out what may be, you know, a logical explanation to it, or also not illogical, but a paranormally related explanation. For example, we were talking about O'Reilly's Bar. That was the name of it. Am I correct, John?
Or McCleary's.
Look at me generalizing Irish.
O'Reilly.
McCleary, right? That in regards to that bar, I mean, there was a fire there. We talk about a fire, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly a great way to go, a great way to pass away. I mean, it's pretty stressful. It's a pretty dramatic way. It's a pretty painful way to die. And that just lends credence to the theory of this, you know, you're automatically detached from you're detached from your body suddenly, and where your soul and your body, or your soul itself, may not even know that you've detached from your body, so to say.
Right.
That may explain ghosts. John Dillinger, for example, he was a very intense man. I've read a lot about John Dillinger. He was a very intense man, very, very, obviously, by the work he did. I don't know, it's pretty much the faint of heart. But that may be another idea with this, too, is that, yeah, people see him coming out of the theater now, and they see him, you know, going, they see this figure, a ghostly figure, I imagine, that runs down the street, possibly, and then stumbles and falls. That's another one of those situations, I think, where, yeah, you know, you're being chased by the FBI, and you know for a fact they're going to kill you when they catch you. That may be another way to leave that psychic impression, that I like to call it, on the environment around there, and may explain why these things happen, so to say. John, why don't we take a quick break here, though? We have a lot more to talk about, I think. There's this book is Ghost Hunting Illinois is just one of the books. You also have Ghost Hunting Ohio you're working on, too. I want to talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
You also have a new book coming out, too, called Ghost Hunter. Am I correct?
That's right.
I want to talk about that, too, also. But let's take a quick break, though, guys. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
Bonnie.
Yeah, Bonnie's here, too. I forgot.
Thanks, Scott.
She brought me Christmas presents today. I should have saw her there. We'll be right back after these messages, though.